The sounds of success vary from person to person. Success sounds like this to a Credenz soybean grower. Along with 43 new varieties this year, Credenz soybeans come with agronomic expertise from BASF. That means expert advisors who bring local insights on seed selection, management decisions, and crop protection options. Knowing the kind of success you're shooting for? That's smart. Ask your local BASF seed advisor about Credenz soybeans. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. All right, let's talk about it seemed like over the weekend, after our long weekend, corn was up 13 and three quarters all weekend. But then Tuesday came around, the markets opened back up again, and things changed. So let's figure out why things are working the way they are today. From the Price Futures Group, Bill Moore joins us. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Mick. How you be, sir?
Not too bad. I was hoping for maybe a third day in a row of up in corn and beans, but it just wasn't to be today. What was happening?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was you really got some three different markets. Always had three different markets with three different storylines today. Start with the corn, the beans, which is the worst one. And whereas this is good news, this signing, and I'm glad, I'd much rather have a signing than no signing. I think about 2 months ago, we were nowhere on any of these trade deals. And now we got to deal with China. We got to deal with Mexico and Canada and Japan. So that's a good thing, but it's not going to happen overnight. And there's still a lot of skepticism about whether China can meet these quotas, you know, that were put out in the trade agreement, which are pretty optimistic. Especially when they keep talking about they will buy grain, according to the competitive prices. Right there, of course. Why would they buy our beans if they can get them cheaper in Brazil? You know, so I mean, the market didn't like the sound of that, and it tempered the rally from Friday, as well. The market wants to see concrete numbers. They don't want that we pledge, throw these numbers around, a lot of rhetoric. They want to see China bought 5 million metric tons of beans or 3 million metric tons of corn. They want to see that, and we haven't seen it as of yet. I'm sure it'll happen, but not as of yet. And so that's why the beans have a big retraction today. In fact, they took out the lows from last week, down 12, one time down 14. It's pretty weak action. We'll see where they close up. But just because of this skepticism that they would buy everything they said they would buy, and coupled with the fact that they're going to buy according to the marketplace and not just buy blindly, which makes a lot of sense. On the other side of the coin is the wheat, which is having a heck of a day. In fact, you look at a chart of March wheat, it's made new highs for the move. The wheat is a stalwart, up 12 at one time today. It's right on its highs actually right now. And if you look at the chart of March wheat, it's new highs for the move. And the problem there is, or the issue there is that there's some problems. There's some countries that are having tough goes of it across the globe, France and Australia, two of them. And and plus the world price of wheat is going up. The last two tenders by Egypt, it's been a higher price. So just a rising tide floats all boats, and the wheat price is just up. And the market likes it. The issues with production, and the better price that we've seen in the last two tenders with Egypt, and it's responding in kind with a 12-cent higher market. Now, the corn market is somewhere in between there. I mean, the corn is influenced by the beans being down 12, but it's also being helped by the wheat being up 12. And the result is just a little bit lower in corn. But the story in corn is another separate storyline, is the corn. Our corn is the cheapest in the world right now, and it'll be that way for the next month until South America gets online, and that's going to translate into more exports. And so the market, that's one of the reasons that you saw that huge rally on Friday. I mean, how often do you see a market go down 12 cents one day, which you did on Thursday, and then go up 14 the very next day, which is what we saw Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much where we're at. The other thing to mention would be the exports, a ton of clock, very good in beans at 1.2 million metric tons. That was a positive. And the final fundamental and probably the most constant fundamental going forward would be the South American weather, which has been extremely good, promising a record crop in Brazil. That's hanging over the market like an albatross, and this doesn't help the prices. So far, the weather continues to be good, and although that bit record crop is getting built in the price pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That's pretty much where we had a tale of three cities today, corn, wheat, and beans, and the wheat market leading the way.
So we're all expecting China to make some purchases, and like you said, they are not dumb when it comes to markets, and they're able to do something or say something or end up driving the markets down, and then they buy when the markets are down. So, but if China is going to start making some moves here, there's got to be some upside potential. How much upside ride can we expect from corn and beans?
Well, I think it could be substantial. Keep in mind, take a look at your 10-year charts, Mick, and I'm sure you do. We're sitting right off the low end of that. We're basically the same price as we were in 2009, 2010. Hard to believe, but we are. So that's a big feather in the cap of the bulls right now, and I think you can make an easy argument, particularly if we have some weather issues, in either hemisphere with these crops in 2020. You can easily make an argument for 50 cents up in the corn, maybe a buck in the beans from the levels they're at.
All right. Well, let's hope for that, because anything's better than where we've been at here for much of 2019. All right. On the livestock side, what's happening there today, Bill?
Well, the biggest thing to talk about is, again, there's two different storylines in the livestock. The cattle is very simple. It's a demand bull. The market's feeding off a stock market, which makes new highs almost every day. And, it hasn't really had a lot of help in the weather. The weather's been pretty benign this winter. But the demand is there. And the market, which started up in the middle of September, is run up about almost $25. And it's holding right off the highs. People thought it would drop down. Once it got up here, but instead of dropping down, it's congesting, feel like it's getting ready for another leg up. The reason people think it could go down is the placements have increased like the last three cattle and feed reports. Those numbers will come home to roost, but it may not be till the middle of next year. Meanwhile, the market is looks like it's coiling up for another move higher because demand is so good, because the stock market is so good. So that's one thing. The other market, the hog market, is very much of a disappointment. If you're trading the hog market with exports in mind, you're not doing well, because the hog market, after a big drop in the past couple months, has been unable to rally, even with this phase one deal signed last week. The problem is, again, it's like the slurry from Missouri or the show me state. Let's see some kind. It looks like the soybean market. Let's see some concrete stuff. Let's see some poundage of pork sent from U.S. To China, and it just hasn't happened. A lot of talk, a lot of rhetoric, but no concrete exports announced, and the market's left with a short-term situation, which is very bearish, because almost every day you have record slaughters, record weights, and plenty of pork around, and the market is having a hard time rallying in that environment. So the short-term is down. The market's reacting to that for the time being. But you think down the road, the upside is got to be really good in this hog market.
All righty. Well, between now and then, though, we've got to survive. We've got to figure out a way. So if farmers want to get a hold of you, Bill, to figure out a marketing strategy, how do they do that?
Yeah, I love talking to producers. I spent a lot of time growing up on the farm. 855-264-6673 or our website, www.pricegroup.com. Just check out the bottom myself and again, I love to talk to producers anytime they feel like it.
Gotcha. All righty. Bill Moore, the Price Futures Group. Thanks for the insight into the markets and a look ahead. Hopefully 2020 will bring some upside potential. So thanks, Bill. Have a good rest of the day and good rest of the week.
Always. Always a pleasure, Mick. You have a good day, sir.
Yep, you the same. Thank you.